D'aquí. Okay, cut, cut. Let's repeat that and have the congregation join us. Thank you. Have a seat. Spacious skies, amber waves of grain, purple mountains' majesty, fruited plains. About 11 or 12 years ago, we took our first trip out here to the Southwest to visit with my mother and sister, who had moved out here a few months ago. Of course, one of our most desired touristy destinations was the Grand Canyon. Now, if you are originally from New York State, anybody here from New York State? No, all right. You know there is a Grand Canyon of the East located upstate. It doesn't really compare to the grandeur of what lies in Arizona. What struck me most when standing at the rim of the canyon, and I was behind the railing, not climbing over it to see what, I don't know better, is that everyone, without exception, stopped talking and yakking in the face of stupendous scenery. Even the talkative German tourists, whom I could unfortunately understand quite clearly, shut their mouths. It was a miracle. Virtually all of us have experienced the wonders of nature, be that the canyon, a majestic sunset, a rainbow, thunder and lightning over the Catalinas, the flight of an eagle, and so on. We view these things in the world, and as people of faith, thank and praise God for the creation. Natural things are objects of our fascination, gifts and blessings to be used in our lives, oftentimes abused in our overly materialistic society. But what about the creation looking back at us? Or the looking back at God? Now take this rock. It's a very nice rock. It has a bunch of dimples in it. It's from my backyard, and I'm sure you have tons of these same things sitting around, minding their own business, decade after decade, century after century. In doing so, it's praising God. Now, when I mention this same rock in my Old Testament diaconia classes, I usually get stunned silence, and I can tell some of the students are thinking, well, another liberal Lutheran nutcase. But frankly, I'm too old to be woke, so hear me out. The psalmist says that the sun and the moon, the stars, water, sea monsters, fire and snow, hail and fog, wind, mountains, trees, all the animals are praising God. So this rock, you know, this rock, a minuscule fragment of some mountain, millions, if not perhaps billions of years in the past, is even today praising God. As Luther puts it so well, what does this mean? It means that all of creation, all, not just you and me, praises God when it fulfills God's God-given purpose. So our friendly rock here is being the best rock it can be. And the mesquite trees in our meditation grove are praising God because they are doing what they are called to do. They are being the best trees possible. Well, they're not actively singing out. I mean, I know at least that. Knowing what they are doing, but everything in creation is good according to God's words in Genesis 1. And when everything functions as it's meant to, God is praised. So a river running cleanly and clearly, supporting aquatic life and giving life-giving water to other creatures, is praising God just by doing what it's supposed to be doing. A polluted river, sluggish and filled with trash and poisons, is the opposite of God's intent and cannot praise God because it is unable to fulfill its function. So if we look at this rock in this sense, I think I can dig myself out of this sermon hole I've created. Because the psalmist ends with words that draw us into this chorus. Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world, young men and maidens, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord. You see, we are part and parcel of the entire creation. In the book of the Revelation, the exalted and risen Christ says to John the Divine, "Behold, I am making all things new." He doesn't say, "I'm making all people new," but all things. And since we are obviously part of the creation, we too are called to praise God. Now, my two pups are the best two pups in the world, at least to me, and they are praising God by being so wonderful. Well, I'm still housebreaking the one, so on occasion he's not so wonderful. But I can't say with surety that they are knowingly praising God and making a choice to do that. They are just doing what they are called to do. And that is the difference, the distinction, if you will, between all of the created things in the world and you and me. Because God has given us the Spirit, we know that we are in a relationship with the Holy One. Our response to that gift of relationship, praise and thanks and gratitude and honoring the name of Yahweh. So this means that there is a twofold way of understanding praise if we draw in the images that the psalmist gives us. One way is what we are doing in this service of worship, singing songs of praise to God, and what we are doing is biblical. From the Revelation again, "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.'" This is truly worship and praise. Yet we are called to a second form of praise and worship by being the best people that we can be. As written in the letter to the Colossians, we read, "We have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God." You see, When we are the best people we can be, we praise God just by being who we are. And the people we are called to be goes a bit beyond being a rock just sitting around for millions of years doing really nothing except being a good rock. Although I know a few folks who could be described that way. In fact, the letter to Peter puts our calling in the highest category. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. To you was born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Jesus is the Messiah, the one given to us by God to be the instrument of God's justice and mercy, compassion and grace. Yet these words can't contain all that Jesus is. One of our older post-communion prayers states that Jesus is the model of the godly life. Jesus shows us the way as to how to praise God in the course of our daily lives, to be the best person each of us can be, in that we emulate, to the best of our ability, the model of the godly life. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Well, as I said, this rock is doing its thing and in its own way is praising God. So let us knowingly approach God at the altar this morning as we receive the Lord's true body and blood, acknowledging God's great gift in Jesus and the strength it gives us to demonstrate faith toward God and fervent love toward one another. This is the source and goal of our praise. Amen.